ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Monday! This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. I use Carbonite to back up my computers. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use my offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. That is Carbonite.com. Don't forget, offer code Stephanie. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like many, many people did, Chris, I believe my Larry King Live.
Yes.
Episode from Friday is up, which is, what kind of Fellini film was that?
That was really, really, really strange.
Yes. Best hate mail ever. I'll get to that a little bit later. Mike in Austin writes, Mama, I had the weirdest dream Friday night. I dreamt you were on Larry King Live, except Larry wasn't hosting, Jesse Ventura was. If that wasn't weird enough, the other guests on the panel were Ron Paul, Rod Blagojevich, and sitting next to you in the studio, the praying mantis from Pink Floyd's The Wall. Many people think that of Andrea Tantaros. I know.
Oh, sure.
After the obligatory
lovely
discussion about Obama, Governor Jesse Ventura looked at you and asked about something Sarah Palin said, at which point you morphed into Sam Kinison screaming, It was at that moment that I woke up. Mike in Austin. Me too, Mike. That was a weird...
And you can see all four segments of it at StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah. That's always nice when you show up and don't realize you're on for the whole show. I was like, oh.
Oh, boy. were all four of you
I felt
on?
Like I was on Survivor talking to Rod Blagojevich. It was just weird.
Oh, my God.
All right. But a good time was had by all. All right, lots of stuff to talk to. Obviously, talk about obviously the Supreme Court nomination, a big, big deal, and that's why we were joined by our buddy, our pal Ian Milhauser. He's a fancy court guy, you know, from the Center for American Progress. Oh, legal policy analyst.
Whatever.
Good morning, Ian.
I'm not that fancy, Stephanie.
You're a fancy legal guy, as I like
of
to call
course.
It. Well, you know, Ian, I think the most disturbing thing headline I saw is Obama doesn't want a SCOTUS fight. And I'm like, This is not a time, in my opinion, to be moderate and centrist when you're replacing a liberal justice on an already right-skewing court, do you think?
No, I agree with you. And it's worse because if you look at Jeff Sessions' statement, the Republican ranking member on the Judiciary Committee,
right,
he came out and said, like, well, you know, health care reform is a big issue. We're going to make sure that this nominee is going to vote with us on health care reform. Now, I mean, let's be clear here. None of Ronald Reagan's appointees would have struck down health care reform. Scalia has gone on record saying that Congress's sweeping activity to engage in economic regulation, like regulating the entire healthcare market. So, I mean, while you've got the White House saying that they want to, you know, keep this cool and not make a big deal of it, you know, obviously the other team's looking to go scorched earth here.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, you can't believe the hypocrisy after we went deaf with the up or down vote when Bush was president. Up or down, up or down, up
right,
or down. They deserve an up or down vote. And now Sessions, as you say yesterday, is threatening a filibuster. He's got to pick a mainstream, justice. And, you know, I mean, sometimes I think, you know, am I crazy? Like, we've just had this Citizens United ruling that 70% of the American people, Republican, Democrat, Independent, thinks a bad idea. This is a right-skewing court.
Well, I think the good news is that anyone that Obama picks is not going to agree with Citizens United, because Citizens United was, you know, so far out in right field that I don't know that you could find someone that would reasonably be considered by this White House who would think that Citizens United was a good idea. But, yeah, I mean, the basic problem here, honestly, is that progressives have been out-hustled. You know, for the last 30 years, the right wing has been pushing for crazier and crazier nominees, including Clarence Thomas, who thinks that the entire New Deal is unconstitutional. I'm not making that up. He also thinks that the Civil Rights Act in 1964, the ban on whites-only lunch counters, he thinks that's unconstitutional, too.
Well, Ian, that's my point. What is this whole thing about, oh, we don't want a judicial activist? These are people that don't respect precedent, correct, that you're talking about?
Oh, no, that's exactly right. I mean, Citizens United struck down about 100 years of precedent. You know, the Ledbetter decision struck down a unanimous precedent from the 1970s. You've seen case after case after case. Last term you had the Gross decision, which cut back on the rights of older workers, which just ignored a precedent outright. So, you know, there's obviously no respect for what has come before them on the right. And, you know, I don't want us to have the leftward equivalent of Clarence Thomas. You know, I don't want a court who looks at the two briefs, figures out which one is the most liberal and always goes that way. The law should mean something. But we have to push back a bit when you've got people who are just crazy up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ian, let's talk about the specific nominees. One of the names that troubles me is Solicitor General Elena Kagan, only because Liz Cheney seems to like her, which right away to me seems that might be a bad sign. I mean, you know, Lieberman was on TV yesterday saying, oh, this is thrilling that we're going to have a rightward tilt. Whoever he picks is going to, you know, tilt the court more right.
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly when Liz Cheney says something, you want to run away in terror. I think that some of the fears about Kagan are overblown. What this comes down to is when you're the Solicitor General of the United States, you have what's called a duty to defend. And that means that if the executive branch, including the previous administration, the Bush administration, has done something, you have to defend it unless it's completely over the top. And so Kagan has defended a whole lot of nasty things in court, including detention at Guantanamo, including things like Don't Ask, Don't Tell and DOMA. And, you know, I want those laws to go away. But I think it's hard to figure out what Kagan really thinks based on the fact that she understands that as Solicitor General, she has this duty to defend, and she can either do what she's required to do or she can resign.
Right. Well, the other name, obviously, Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm. I love this. She'll be like to face conservative criticism for her abortion rights stance. And it's like, again, he's replacing a liberal justice. You know, the majority of Americans still believe in a woman's right to choose. I don't understand what their idea of the judicial mainstream is. Someone who agrees with them on every issue, the Republicans?
No, I think that's right. And Roe v. Wade is at least an issue that's been contentious, you know, for a while. Healthcare reform, you know, like I mentioned before, is an issue that's been contentious for about 5 minutes, and only because the Cato Foundation tells us that we're supposed to think that it's contentious. So, I mean, clearly, you know, the other team's game here is they want someone as far to the right as they can, and, you know, whatever the issue, whether it's healthcare, whether it's abortion, whether it's detainee treatment, whether it's campaign finance, you know, they're going to push for the person that they want, and, you know, we need to push back more.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's many lines in these stories that pop out at me. Obama exuded moderation during his brief announcement in the Rose Garden. I'm like, no. I mean, that's the problem, is he, you know, clearly has campaigned on this and has tried to govern like this on this bipartisan, you know, outreach. But it just, as you say, I mean, it hasn't worked on any issue. And now on something that's so critical and could last such a long time, I feel like this is the time to make a bold choice, don't you think?
I would love to see a bold choice. And now, I mean, I'm going to reserve judgment until I know who the actual nominee is.
Right.
And one thing that I do take some comfort in is, you know, while you don't see someone like a Pam Carlin or an Erwin Chemerinsky, who are considered to be the leading brilliant lights of the left, the names that I am seeing thrown around, almost all of them are former Supreme Court clerks. And, you know, I've known a few Supreme Court clerks. They're smarter than humans. So, like, you know, I think it counts for a lot that he wants to put a brilliant justice up there, because a brilliant justice can go a long way. And, you know, if someone isn't as far to the left as I like them, but on the important issues they can swing Kennedy's vote, I'll take that person.
Uh-huh. Do you think any of my ideas have a chance, Fidel Castro, Michael Moore, Che Guevara?
No? I don't know. I'm not sure how Michael Moore and Fidel Castro did in law school, and since we've become so obsessed with credentials these days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shakira? No? Okay.
Nah, Shakira, you know, it would be nice to get a hot justice.
Someone that you know is shaking it under those robes.
That's right.
Yeah, her briefs don't lie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but the thing is, it just, I think it was Dianne Feinstein that said, you know, the Senate is exhausted. It's just because after this health care fight, you know, and you're like, oh, come on. What are you, coal miners? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's the thing that it's just that troubles some of us on the left. That, and I understand, you know, the president, this is always who he's been and who he's campaigned on. But it just seems like, I don't know. I just hope he doesn't try to, again, the right doesn't seem to have any fear of this complete hypocrisy, do they, of using the filibuster on this when they scream to the high heavens this shouldn't be used during Bush's term for judicial nominees, correct?
Well, I guess the people that I'll be watching very closely, I believe there were 9 Republican senators who voted for Sotomayor. And, you know, you've got people like Sessions and McConnell and Coburn and DeMint and all them. And, you know, those guys, they're dead to me. Like, they're not going to vote. They're not going to vote for Obama's nominee, whoever that person is. The people I'm going to be watching are those 9. You know, if they show that they are willing to behave the same way that they did in the Sotomayor, in the Sotomayor confirmation fight, then I think we're in for a reasonable process. If they decide that they want to join the DeMints of the world, you know, this is going to be a problem.
Well, so Kyle yesterday, John Kyle, the senator from Arizona, said it would take an extraordinary circumstance to compel a Republican filibuster. Republicans, they're saying, likely to echo those terms, judicial mainstream and extraordinary circumstances during the confirmation process, but you know, I mean, that it's interesting when they're the ones picking what that is or what that means, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what you have going on, you know, and this is something that can work to our favor on the right, is there's a tension where they know they're picking crazier people than we're picking, and so they know that if the standard is everyone gets through, that benefits them in the long term. So, like, I think that there's actually a tension there where people like Kyle are thinking, you know, like, we've got a pretty good thing going where when George Bush was in office, we could push through whoever we wanted, and they wouldn't receive even any real resistance, even if they were elite. Who's crazy. And so I don't know if I don't know. I mean, I mean that seriously. I'm not saying I do or I don't. Whether when it comes down to a vote, there aren't going to be some Republicans who look at it and say, you know what? Like, I don't want to give up this good thing we're going when everyone gets through because our guys are so much crazier than their guys.
I think that should be their slogan in 2012. Ian Millhauser, fancy legal guy from the Center for American Progress. Thank you, Ian. So always a pleasure to talk to you. See you next time.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes. Fancy legal guy.
Yeah.
We have fancy economist guy and fancy legal guy from the Center for American Progress. Legal analyst.
Whatever.
Something.
And he would love to see Shakira on the Supreme Court.
Yes. Okay, could you even see her hips shake under those robes? They're so roomy. Maybe she would have it, like, tailored to her to fit her body. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be kind of hot. I dare say she would look better than Sonia Sotomayor.
You think?
Yeah.
Stop it, you catty thing.
What?
20 minutes after the hour, some of my best hate mail ever, as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Next to food and music, this is mankind's greatest invention.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What a show we have coming up. The Rude Pundit in just a couple of minutes. We have Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America to co-host a rollicking right-wing world next hour. And in hour three, Dr. Dan from Chicago, my former producer, who is a famous orthopedic surgeon now in Chicago.
Right.
Who he does surgeries for uninsured people and doing the Lord's work.
And I was reading another news story about him over the weekend, and he brought a whole bunch of people who were injured in the earthquake in Haiti. He brought them to Chicago and treated them for free. What a guy he is.
Exactly. That's what comes from working with
Stephanie Miller.
You become that sort of altruistic, magical. What's happened to you, Chris? You're still a selfish bastard.
I'm totally selfish.
All right. Anyway, but yeah, we saw the story in the paper, and it's hard to forget your 1 7-foot tall producer
right.
that I had back a million years ago in Chicago and New York. So we'll talk to Dr. Dan next,
and
in the third hour.
He's an accomplished blues man.
I know.
He's a basketball player.
Yeah, he's
is there anything he can't do?
I know. Don't you feel so, so insecure now?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I kid. Aww. Hey, you know, Tommy in Columbus writes, Steph, you're famous. You've made the big time. Did you see this? Was it Mike in Oakland made this hilarious Hitler video?
Yes.
Where he's talking about, it's the actual, you know, it's a Hitler movie footage or whatever, and he's talking about Sean Hannity's Freedom Concerts and, you know.
Stephanie Miller.
Is mentioned.
Yeah.
Throughout the piece. Is there, can we tweet a link or is
we
it up?
Did.
Or I don't know how you kids do your internets.
We already did. If you subscribe to Stephanie's Twitter feed, you can see it right there. But also, there's a box. If you scroll down a little bit on the StephanieMiller.com homepage, it shows all of your tweets. And so you can get it
yes.
there, too.
Hilarious. Mm-hmm. Some damaging stories about my drinking and my underwear.
Whatever.
Hitler. Apparently, Hitler was quite aware of me.
Yeah.
All right.
He was a fan.
All right.
Was he one of your old producers?
Yes. No.
No. Okay.
Okay. Yes, I told you I was also up on StephanieMiller.com, Mama on the Larry King Live on Friday night, which really was an odd little Fellini-esque episode in my life. Governor Ventura was guest hosting.
Mm-hmm.
I got a 9/11 conspiracy sausage in for Jim. He'd
Good.
Be happy about that. And let's see, I was on with Rod Blagojevich, Ron Paul, and the right-wing velociraptor, Andrea Tantaros.
Oh, she was nice.
Oh, my God.
I jollied her up. I got her to do a skit with me. Did you see that?
I saw
when Governor Ventura
skit.
Was promoting her book, I had her hold it with me like we were the spokesmodels.
Yes. It was a little skit.
All right, Bill, not a fan of mine. Subject line, you're a wise-ass bitch.
Computer,
you're probably spelled Y-O-U-R.
No, this is spelled correctly,
oh.
which is unusual for my right-wing hate
yeah.
mail. However, Bill goes on to say, too bad your mom didn't have an abortion. Maybe someday you will learn how to be polite like the conservative ladies. You must have had a poor upbringing. Bill, I was actually raised by a polite conservative lady.
Yes.
So I guess he's implying that Andrea Tantaros and, Laura Ingraham, Michelle Malkin, they're polite, and I'm not. That's what he's implying there. Maybe I'll learn to be polite someday.
Laura Ingraham is
like Ann Coulter. You
yeah.
know.
Laura yeah. Ingraham most definitely is not polite.
Hmm. Yeah, if only I could. Maybe maybe there's some sort of Miss Manners, right-wing Miss Manners school that Ann Coulter runs or something.
The right doesn't have manners.
Hmm. Okay. All right. And then Eddie. Wow. This one does have a lot of misspellings. We'll do this one next. And it's actually rude, so it'll be a perfect segue into Rude Pundit.
Okay.
Yeah, misspellings and a lot of filth. Which is, there you go. It's Rude Pundit, a lot of filth, funny, and no misspellings.
Mm-hmm.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I should not have poured wine in my cereal this morning.
Yes, I should. Trust me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Guess is home snoozing at my house.
Who?
Hal Sparks.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's in for the week.
Tongues are wagging.
Well, because it's Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show.
That's right.
This Saturday in New York City, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang.
That's right.
Live at the, I don't even know if we have any tickets left, at the WNYC Green Space Theater.
You can try. There's a link at StephanieMiller.com, but no guarantees if there are tickets
I
left.
I think they might be scarce at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Check All eBay right. now.
Exactly. All right. Oh, let me get to my rude hate letter before Rude Pundit. This is from the Fellini film that was Larry King Live, guest hosted by Governor Ventura. On Friday night, starring me, Rod Blagojevich, Ron Paul, and Andrea Tantaros.
Mm-hmm.
This from Eddie. Okay, let me get the bleep button ready. You are about as stupid a bitch as that Rachel Maddow. Okay, first of all, Rachel Maddow, Rhodes Scholar, you moron.
Right.
So, I don't know what... I'm stupid, yes, but
Computer
Rachel
says,
Maddow.
Yeah. Says no.
No.
You have a theater degree
Stick
from USC.
Me. Yeah, I'm a stupid bitch. But, you know, please, don't drag Rachel into this. Why is it that you dumb liberals are always making up? 70% of Americans wanted the public option. Really? Yes.
Computer says yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. On virtually every poll for the last year. Yep. Yes.
Computer says yes.
Really? You dumb. Oh. That was the bad one there.
You dumb. The C word.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You meant that 70% of the ass-licking left wanted a public option, don't you?
Computer says no.
No, I don't believe anyone did a poll on the licking left. I don't think that was. It was a poll of all Americans, and roughly 70% of all of them wanted the public option. Why don't you, that whole Obama? Oh, that's his clever name for the president, Obama. and his up Veep Biden drop dead. The world would be a better place, I can assure you of that. So die, please die, okay?
Oh.
Then you can have your wealth redistributed among the lazy suckers you're all so concerned with.
Oh, dear.
I don't believe I've ever said if I die, please redistribute my wealth among the lazy suckers I'm concerned with. Dumb. Again with that same word.
Oh.
go back to licking Rachel Maddow's ass. Okay, that's from Eddie. Yeah, those were his thoughts on my Friday night appearance.
Hmm.
All right.
That was actually kind of funny. That was almost poetic in its filth.
You know what? I prefer my rudeness that makes sense and with the proper spelling.
Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. That guy just pretty much wrote out my fantasies.
That was, Oh, well. I want to go on record as saying Rachel Maddow has a girlfriend, and I have never licked any part of her, including her ass. All right, let's...
I'm glad you've clarified that.
Yeah, thank you.
I thought I should clear that up.
He'll be issuing an apology.
Can we please move on?
Okay, sorry. So rude. I very much enjoyed your post on morbidly obese white men will destroy your precious country. You pictured many of them. That fat bastard is Gregory Lee Giusti. He made repeated calls threatening the life of Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. This rolling ball of lard is Larry North. He planted 36 pipe bombs around his East Texas community in order to attack the government. And then that Natalie dress puss bomb is Newt Gingrich. He used to be someone important, but he was brought down by scandal and hubris. And yesterday he basically threatened to do a replay. Right? He'll shut down the government again.
Yeah. And he says that's what Republicans should do if they win back the Congress in 2010. Just don't fund anything. Don't fund anything. So, you know.
Yeah.
I hope you liked that little blip in your unemployment checks because, you know, it'll happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. That worked out so well for him the last time, didn't it? The whole. And I believe that crazy Michelle Bachmann echoed that. But yes, let's just not fund health care so it doesn't work.
Yes, and yeah, you're right. Last time it was, I think that was sort of the beginning of the end of that Republican majority in the House.
Yeah. Well, that's what we have to hope, right, Rude? That they stick with the same ideas that worked so disastrously for them in the past.
Well, I think that this time they're thinking that because there's a black man president, that people won't turn on them so quickly.
Yeah.
I'm really at the point where I'm feeling like Janine Garofalo on some of these things, where it's just like, okay, you know what? Stop it. This is all because he's a black guy. All right, just stop already. I look at these fat white bastards here, people who look like they just want to be the meat in the Palin Bachman sandwich. And that is disturbing, isn't it? And it's obvious they just hate the black guy.
Yep. You actually write. I saw that, and it was disturbing. Bachman and Palin on Hannity like hell on earth. It was not unlike a menage a trois in hell, where you get so tired of the barbed tails in your ass and mouth that you wonder when you can just go back to roasting in a lake of fire. Which, that was my reaction from seeing just a clip of it.
Yeah, and Palin was on a roll this week, you know? She was talking about snake oil science stuff at the Southern Republican Leadership Conference in New Orleans. It's like,
yes.
Oh, yeah, that's science stuff. We don't want to bother with any of that, you know? Mm-hmm. Hey, sorry, Poindexter, take your facts. and go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you talk about it, just as hilarious how Hannity always tries to bring this up, like, oh, people are being sexist to you. And you said you can go anywhere to find a litany of comments about Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, Nancy Pelosi, even more over-the-top, horrible sexist stuff.
Any female that is on the left, including present company, will get attacked in the most horrible sexist terms.
Really? What have you heard about me?
There's this whole thing with you and Rachel Maddow. Anyway, that was for Chris.
Thanks.
Any woman on the left is just going to be denigrated and essentially told, get back in the kitchen. And unless you're pleasing us, we don't want to hear your voice.
You did the best diagram of a Palin sentence I've seen. You write, Palin did what she always does. She strung together key words and talking points into nonsense verse. She said, I think this is indicative of what is coming in November. I think that there will be that sweeping of change, and you will see that takeover, if you will, a positive, a good, valuable takeover of common sense conservatives back in Congress.
Oh, my God.
You say that's not actually a sentence with a logical progression of ideas, but it does contain words that the slavering teabaggers in the room could understand. It's the conservative version of pointing and grunting.
Yeah, it appeals to the Neanderthal in all of us.
Yeah, I mean, Jim does a good impression of it. It really is like the Tim Allen character at these teabagger things. Just, like they just hit the right words. And they.
Right, yeah. The lamestream media, yeah.
That's a humdinger, yeah. That's
lamestream media, good, bad, fire, bad.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
That's one thing we've learned, fire bad.
Fire always bad. You know why? You know why? Fire leads to premarital sex.
So you also have a posting about the Confederate History Month, and you factually correctly point out, let's get this straight, oh dear people of the South, the North, kick your cracker ass. And I think that's something that's sometimes lost among the Pat Buchanans, who say both sides were right in the Civil War. And who was it yesterday? Haley Barbour of Mississippi said, oh, I don't think this really amounts to diddly, mentioning slavery.
No, of course not. It doesn't mean anything to them. The thing is, the right, they can't handle losing.
Right.
You know, when the left loses, it's like, all right, you know what? We lost. Let's see what we can do to work things out. The right loses, and it's like, oh, no, that do-over. Or how are we going to just shut things down? Or when are we going to bring it back? Or let's celebrate the losing as if it was a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was on CNN State of the Union. So Haley Barbour defended Bob McDonald's omission of slavery from his proclamation. He told Candy Crowley, it seems unnecessary to mention slavery because everyone knows it was a bad thing and people are exaggerating something that doesn't matter for diddly. He said, to me, it's sort of a feeling that it's just a nit. I don't know if that's a Southern word. It's not significant. It's trying to make a big deal out of something that doesn't matter for diddly. Well, I wonder if many former slaves would think that it doesn't matter. It mattered to them.
Yeah, but, you know, they were. It only matters 3/5 of the time. There was a that attitude that we just know it's slavery. So then why exactly are we even talking about the Confederacy? Since I don't care what any Southerner or Confederacy defender wants to say, it was about slavery. The Confederacy wouldn't have existed if it wasn't for slavery. If you're celebrating the Confederacy, you are celebrating the keeping of slaves. Shut up if you want to say anything else. Oh, states' rights, the North wanted to take away blah, blah, blah. No, they wanted to take away your slaves.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, Rude, we just had this Southern Republican Leadership Conference in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a paltry little pack of... Mitt Romney won the straw poll.
And he didn't even show up.
No, he wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Ron Paul, who did show up on Larry King with me Friday,
right.
He won second.
By one vote.
Yeah.
Could they just nominate Ron Paul already? Let's just have it out. Let's have our Ron Paul moment, and get it over with. Because obviously Republicans, there's a lot of Republicans that want this guy in there. And if they want to listen to the people that are in the street, they want them some Ron Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend that watched me on Larry King on Friday, and she's like, yeah, I agree with a lot of what Ron Paul says. And then suddenly you'll be like, yes, yes. Oh, no, no, no. Because they'll say, you know, some things that you're about Iraq. You're like, yes, yes. And then, oh, well, no, that's.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Or his speech where he said, Obama's not a socialist. He's a corporatist. And there are corporatists in the Republican Party. And it's like, oh, you're right, Ron Paul. Oh, no, your eyes are spinning again. Oh, I've been tricked.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like one of those little, you know, those little toys you shake up and the eyes spin.
Yeah,
I got you.
It's like waking up in the next morning next to somebody who you had such a great time with last night, and then you look over and they're just looking at you with that look of, we're going to do something today, aren't we?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a little crazy town for me. I'm like going, I'm having a conversation with Ron Paul and Rod Blagojevich. I don't know.
That is surreal. That's the
Yeah, and he's the Democrat on my side. I'm like, oh, boy, this is good. Don't you think, Ron?
You had a reality TV moment.
You did.
I was on Survivor, and I survived. All right, Rude, you are the rudest and the funniest, and you spell stuff right, which is very important.
I try.
RudePundit.blogspot.com. Thank you, Rude. See you next week, honey.
Thank you.
There we go.
Yay.
The Rude one. All right, hilarious stuff this week.
Yeah.
Check out a lot of stuff I can't, you know, talk about on the little family radio show. But all the good stuff is at rudepundit.blogspot.com.
And if that's too hard to remember, we have a link to it right there, front and center at stephaniemiller.com.
Well, looky there. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with all the highlights of the Southern Republican thing with the Flavin. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Eric Bohler from Media Matters for America coming up to co-host A Rollicking Right-Wing World. StephanieMiller.com, the website. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Oh, goodness, I'm sorry I missed that there, Southern Republican leadership.
Whatever.
Thing.
Cluster, whatever they call it. Oh, who wants to miss a Sarah Palin speech?
Yes.
She slammed, she was blinded by science once again, Chris. Sarah Palin slammed environmentalism and said she feels vindicated in her global warming denialist views because of the Climate Gate smear campaign she referred to as Gore Gate.
Science!
Al Gore had nothing to do with that.
Right.
And the leaked emails, by any standard, do not debunk global warming.
Right.
As I think Jim Ward actually put it best, it was just scientists being to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an office prank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Palin said we should create a competitive climate for investment in renewables and alternatives. None of this snake oil science stuff that's based on this global warming Goregate stuff that came down where there was a revelation that the scientists, some of those scientists were playing political games. Huh? Now we feel a little bit vindicated because we're realizing at Goregate that there was some snake oil science involved over the data collection there. We invented the internet unless that was just another Goregate thing too. Did any of that really actually make sense? I wish we had Rude Pundit to diagram that sentence as well. That, I guess she was trying to make a joke, but that wasn't even properly written, was it?
No,
we invented the internet, and that was another Gore Gate. It's just like, it's sort of like a, like I've said before, like a Scrabble board has exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a bunch of words and things and sort of half-baked ideas and things just kind of scrambled into a mush.
It's more like a boggle board.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Please, who wants some more Caribou Barbie for breakfast?
This administration alienates our friends. They treated the Afghan president, Karzai, poorly, and then they feigned surprise when he reacted in kind. They escalated a minor zoning decision into a major breach with Israel, our friend, our closest ally in the Middle East. Let's remind our president, Jerusalem is not a settlement, and Israel is our friend.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
God, I sometimes just, I don't even know how to say it, Chris. I just, with the heat of 1,000 white-hot suns, it's just, yeah. By the way, it's not a minor zoning issue,
right.
The amount of settlements that Israel is building, for God's sake.
They're
and
in...
he never said Jerusalem is a settlement. Ugh. It's just, that's the problem. She takes a bunch of lies and then mashes them in with a bunch of half-baked sort of thoughts. And
yeah.
Okay.
I don't think she understands what's going on over there, Israel versus Palestine.
Really? Yeah, if only we could have that stellar diplomacy back we had under George W. Bush, then everything would be so much better, wouldn't it?
Well, she doesn't understand it because she can't see it from her house.
Okay. And she's responding to the president saying that he perhaps would perhaps take nuclear advice from someone else,
mm-hmm.
other than Caribou Barbie.
The president, with all the vast nuclear experience that he acquired as a community organizer... And as a part-time senator, and as a full-time candidate, all that experience, still no accomplishment to date with North Korea and Iran.
I'm sorry, did she call him part-time?
Yes.
I see. This is the one that's quit every job
yes.
she's ever had, including the last one.
Yes.
Half-term? Just said that about the president.
She did.
Yeah, Dopey, here's what happened. He left the Senate to become president of the United States. Because he kicked your ass and Grampy McSame. I love how she makes that seem like a failure.
I know.
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah, much better to quit halfway through your disastrous term as governor. Okay.
Yeah, she hasn't even held one term of anything, has
yeah.
she?
Yeah, he's just a part-time kind
right.
of guy. There, you betcha. Okay. All right, so we were talking to Rude Pundit about this. Newt Gingrich, wow, there's a good idea. He spoke at that there Southern Republican mm-hmm. leadership flavin
whatever.
Thing. Since more Republicans are conceding the full repeal of health care reform is unlikely to occur on President Obama watch, Gingrich offered a two-tiered approach that's becoming increasingly popular among conservatives. He said, here's my promise. When we win control of the House and Senate, stage one of the end of Obamaism will be a new Republican Congress in January that simply refuses to fund any of the radical efforts. They just won't play in any of his reindeer games. You see, they're just going to shut the government down again.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Gosh, let's review, kids. For approximately 3 weeks in the winter of 95, Gingrich orchestrated a shutdown of the entire federal government by refusing to fund its operations either by passing a budget or a continuing resolution. How'd that work out for you? How did that hopey-changey thing work out for you, Nudie? Newt at the
President of the United States, the most radical president in American history, mm-hmm. has now thrown down the gauntlet to the American people. He has said, I run a machine, I own Washington, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, that's where we are.
Mm, yeah, by being pretty much the most bipartisan president we've had, he's reached out in unprecedented ways to the other side and gotten nothing. All right. Brian, my right-wing love muffin in Jacksonville, Florida, says Sarah Palin is not a ditz. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being here.
No, she's not near as blonde as you say she is. And
I didn't say she was blonde.
Well, it's my analogy. She organized, Alaska's get oil profits money, and I live in Florida, and they're drilling for oil out here, and I don't get a check. So, what's going on with that? And there's a couple other things.
Say that back. She organized Alaska's what?
Every resident of Alaska ever since statehood gets a check from the state on oil proceeds. She has nothing
she
to
do
with that.
She didn't do that.
Okay, well, she helped.
Okay.
she helped promote more development of Alaska oil resources. And
raping the natural environment. In the process.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Well, that was a pretty good summation of Sarah Palin's accomplishments before she quit. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Good job. Right back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. I use Carbonite to back up my computers. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Do it now before it's too late. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. You get a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com, the website. My Fellini-esque appearance on Larry King Live, guest hosted by Governor Jesse Ventura, is up there.
All four segments of it. Holy cow.
God. I can tell it's all the loser people that have nothing else to do on a Friday night. That's why I get invited to that. Okay. Did Jim Ward, did you see I got a 9/11 conspiracy sausage in there for you with Governor Ventura?
Jim's not here.
Oh, all right. I'm sure he'll be in shortly.
He'll be in.
I'm sure he's still watching that on YouTube.
Yeah, you can
email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Yeah, lots of hate mail for some reason, Chris. This one, I don't even, not even a name, but just says, Steph, I don't know if you believe you are attractive, interesting, intelligent, or humorous. Let's take a page out of high school science. None of the above. That's very nice. Mm.
You are physically repulsive, intellectually retarded, you're morally reprehensible, vulgar, insensitive, selfish, stupid, you have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell. You're not even interesting enough to make me sick.
All right. Thanks for all your thoughts from the Larry King. I'll be doing the Ed Show, by the way, this Friday. I'm at MSNBC. So tune in for that, won't you? All right. In the meantime, let's dive into the right-wing world. Eric Bollard, our buddy, our pal from Media Matters. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
I don't know why you make it hurt so good. I guess that's the song we chose.
Ball hurt so good.
See? Oh, I get it.
Yes.
I get it. All right. So Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear on Bart Stupak's retirement.
This is a guy whose political epitaph will read, he was a good man who played over his head. He held out and then he got squeezed by the president and the speaker. He caved. And the worst part of it was he pretended that the instrument of surrender which he signed was actually a victory. It's a sad ending to a long career.
Wow.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
That's a spinny kind of spin, isn't it?
Well, it's funny. Up until, 13 days ago, 14 days ago, Bart Stupak was a moral leader of clarion intelligence among the conservatives for his, you know, his battles on the abortion issue. And then all of a sudden, you know, he agrees to the health care reform, and
traitor!
Oh my gosh, he's not only a traitor. Apparently, he's dumb. He's over his head. He doesn't know what he's doing, et cetera, et cetera. So it's interesting that you know, as Stupak talked about it in his press conference. You know, he's been pushing for health care reform. He says since '92 when he was elected. So it's not like he was opposed to it. And when he finally came around, when he got his, you know, the wording that he wanted on abortion, suddenly the right wing, you know, picked him as villain number one, and the death threat starts, and they're going to spend $250,000 to drive him out of office. And suddenly he's viewed in a much different light.
Yeah, I mean, it really was stunning. Eric, I have to say, I mean, certainly he took criticism on this show, among many places on the left, on you know, his stance on the issue, which we just thought was wrong. But, I mean, that just shows you what the right has become. I mean, it's a Republican who yells baby killer at him on the floor of Congress?
But it wasn't meant to be for him to take offense, of course. Baby killer was just meant to describe the bill.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, right. If you know, it's the double standard. I mean, the left gets angry over the issues and the policy and why you're wrong, and the right apparently just hates your guts and wants to drive you from office, and according to one of the death threats captured on audio, wants him to get all sorts of forms of cancer. So it's just sort of this unhinged, delusional view of politics.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Newt Gingrich on what a feminist Sarah Palin is.
I think that if you are, you know, a San Francisco liberal, she just drives you crazy. because she's clearly a total feminist. I mean, in the true sense of feminism, she is her own person. She does her own thing. She does it her way. It's just she does it in a way that if you're a part of the liberal elite, it's everything that you've tried to leave.
Oh.
Where to begin? Who is that calling in the background, I wonder?
I like that, too. Well, A, yes, Newt Gingrich, noted women's rights thinker,
right.
weighs yeah. in on Sarah Palin's appeal as a feminist and her can-do qualities, and that's why women love her, and as I pointed out on our blog yesterday. If you look at the latest CBS poll, women really, really, really do not like Sarah Palin.
yes.
21%. 21% favorable rating. It's virtually the lowest rating of any demographic group the CBS polled. Women
yes.
cannot.
But you raise a good point. And Newt Gingrich is a noted feminist.
Well, he's in touch. He's always been in touch with the women's rights movement. So he's
a marriage proponent in that he wants to be married as many times as possible. That probably was his next mistress calling on the phone.
And later in the same CNN clip, he compared Sarah Palin to Ted Kennedy, and she could be a 30-year cornerstone of the conservative movement, just like Ted Kennedy had been. So,
because she has, yeah, she has a you know very noted
governor.
Yeah, she has very noted stick-to-itiveness. I'm sure she'd hang for 30.
But the Gingrich quote is great because he has no idea what he's talking about in terms of what women voters are interested in. But it's the whole idea that Sarah Palin is some sort of this iconic figure. She couldn't be elected dog catcher at this point, and everyone just looks the other way.
Yeah, as a woman, it's not even partisan for me. I really do just feel like she makes women, every time she opens her mouth, I'm like, oh, no.
20% of favorable rating among women. That's
wow.
independents, Republicans, everyone. It's just...
What is it again? 20?
21%, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Glenn Beck on the Fox News on his wildly successful career.
I know what it's like to be a commentator and a conservative. I mean, I can't even imagine what it would be like. I mean, I think I would be the richest man in the world, and I might be named God if I were a liberal. With the success that we had in television, being the Antichrist, if I were a liberal, I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like.
Yeah, I can't either. You know why? Because we can't get on nearly as many radio stations.
Right. Phil Donahue had a taste of what it was like to be the number one rated host on MSNBC at the end of the war. He was fired.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he was.
He was
exactly.
He was fired because GE did not want to have a liberal as the face of the network on the eve of war. So I'm not quite sure it would pan out the way Beck thinks. Although he is right about being incredibly wealthy. Forbes pegged his annual income, I think, is at $32 million.
$32 million.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's doing well. I'm always happy to see populists do well, and he's doing quite well.
Yeah. But isn't that the hilarious myth of the liberal media? I mean, I have to tell you, I personally, Eric, know some people on the radio. You know this too, Chris. There are people that pretend to be right wing because they know it's the way to make
Absolutely.
A living. You can't
Absolutely.
Make a, trust me, Eric. You can't make a friggin' living as a liberal. I mean, you know that's the problem. Is even Glenn Beck has admitted he's a rodeo clown. He doesn't believe any of this stuff. He's figured out what he can do that sells.
Well, that's what he also told Forbes. He said, "I'm not interested in the political process," and I'm sure his listeners would be thrilled to hear that and find that out and realize that it's all a shtick. But
yeah,
I've been lied to.
No, I mean, it really is. It's hilarious. I mean, I literally have mentioned this. The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, he said if you had a magical conversion and went back to your conservative roots, you'd have 200 stations tomorrow. And sadly,
no,
that's true.
There's no doubt. Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm not sure Glenn Beck wants to live out the liberal fantasy because he wouldn't be rich and he wouldn't have a platform.
I dare you. Go ahead and say you're a flaming liberal. See how that goes. We're all working for principles and peanuts here, Eric. all right. Laura Ingram in for O'Reilly.
I've been asked this, Bill, before. He said, Laura, is Barack Obama a socialist? And you know, I guess maybe people think I'm wimpy because I said, look, whatever you call him, what he's doing for the country is ruinous.
Oh.
Ah.
Okay.
I see. It's just that now it's just a blanket ruinousness. It's not necessarily socialism.
Well, so is she not calling him a socialist?
That's what she was saying.
Was she making her stand?
She doesn't know what it is. It's just disastrous.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. You know, down at New Orleans this weekend, one of the most popular tags for Obama was radical. And we've certainly heard the you know, the rhetoric in the last couple of weeks or two from the whole right wing corral. I mean, just going crazy about how he's ruining the country and radical and et cetera, et cetera. And I guess this is sort of the game plan for the rest of his presidency, just sort of this chaos theory that everything's falling apart and he's just ruining the country. But if you look around, I mean, you know, I'm not sure most people see it that way.
Yeah, wouldn't think so. Dana Perino on O'Reilly. Now that I think we can all agree was ruinous, the Bush administration. Dana Perino.
Every time a party leaves the White House, there's this period of competition.
Yeah.
And I actually think that it's the competition within the party is good. Who do we like? Who makes the most sense? And a combination of ideas might work for now. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, Michael Steele's doing a great job. Great job. Move along. Nothing more to see here. Yeah.
Well, I love the competition, too. I mean, again, down in New Orleans, who won the straw poll vote? It was Mitt Romney,
yeah.
You know, who's apparently a fan of health care reform. And then Ron Paul, who comes in second. And both of those are a big problem for the Republican Party. Sarah Palin goes down, does a big song and dance, comes in third. Even, you know, the Republican activists apparently don't think she should be president or don't think she, you know, is qualified and things like that. So, I mean, we all hear this.
Yes, but she can give a zinger.
She can.
Boy, you betcha.
The Lane Street Media. We hear all this talk from the right-wing circles, the mainstream press, and all the Republicans are on this roll, and it's all shaping up. And then you look at, you know, who are actually they going to put up, as Dana Perino talks about, you know, who the competition is going to be. And then the picture gets a lot more muddy, and they have lots of problems ahead of them, I think.
Michael Steele, the wildly popular chief of the RNC.
I think the justice stepping down gives the president an opportunity to show that he's serious about the Supreme Court. It certainly will give us an opportunity to have a national debate about the direction of this court. Do we have an activist left-leaning court, or do we have a court that's focused on governing, not governing, but leading the people through legislation?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Leading people through legislation? The Supreme Court doesn't.
That's the Sarah Palin version of what the Supreme Court does.
I'm going to get in there and do some good legislating and things in the making of the laws.
They're on a monkey wrench.
I think he was confused by the roar of the crowd, maybe. I don't know.
Well,
he's not used to applause. That's what it is. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America. See you next week, sir.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, there he goes, Eric Bowler. All right.
I couldn't help but think, with all those people yelling, I wondered how many of them were holding nooses, considering.
There were some inappropriate signs in the audience.
Yeah.
That was at the Sean Hannity show. He was from live from New Orleans on Friday.
Ah, how exciting. 19 minutes after the hour, right back with, I think I have one more hate letter I have to get to from Friday night as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm smart, you're dumb. I'm big, you're little. I'm right, you're wrong. And there's nothing you can do about it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Edward in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I just want to say that it's amazing. You know, when Sarah Palin, if people are too stupid to see that, this good lady said it's like a child in a playground who says these crazy child analogies, and she gets support. It's a clear sign that the white conservatives are like crackheads to me, because they will rob from their own mother to get crack. They will vote against their own self-interest just to support somebody who they think stands up against Barack Obama. It's amazing. And every time I watch it, it's just so frustrating. And it seems like they get the most media, though. It seems like when you go through the station, they get the most coverage.
Oh, I know. Oh, trust me. Every time Sarah Palin says something, I have to go on TV and talk about it. It's exhausting. Kip in Ithaca, you're on go ahead.
And it's amazing, but, you know, we'll see when she tries to run or do anything, you know.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Wow, 21. You know, and that's the mm-hmm. thing. I always get called a jealous biatch.
Yep.
When I talk about Sarah Palin, what was that Eric Boland quoted? 21% support among women.
Yeah, that's
across
amazing.
Across the board, politically. Let's go to Kip in Ithaca. Hi, Kip.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, just a quick retort to your love muffin from Jacksonville there. I guess he doesn't realize that not only is Sarah, you betcha, Palin linguistically challenged, but she's also fiscally challenged. She left Wasilla, $20 million in the red after, you know, entering office there about $1 million in the red.
Yep.
And then she also left the state of Alaska, you know, 70% debt ratio to GDP. So she's definitely fiscally challenged too, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and then quit before she was done. Let's go to Derek in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Derek.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for
I just want to say to this asshat that decided to say that you were ugly, that
yes.
He obviously hasn't been to your webpage and actually seen any pictures of you.
Oh,
not only that, but if he decides to say that we need to take a little page out of science and use E, none of the above, he needs to take a page out of it as well. Who's the most factual person he listens to, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, or Sarah Palin, or... Hint, hint, the obvious answer, D, none of the above.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Carl in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Carl.
Stephanie, hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I belong to a little club. They're all Republican guys, and they accuse me of being an Obama lover.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't say anything, and I went home, and I thought, you know, I need a comeback for these guys. I need to intellectualize this whole thing. So I came up with my own intellectual retort for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the next time they say that to me, I'm going to call them Limbaugh Lickers and Sarah Sniffers.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Thank you for
You're
that.
You're welcome. There's an image I didn't need.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I, you know what? I'd go rework that, Jim, wouldn't you? That was a little doughy.
Punch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So who was the asshat who accused Rachel Maddow of being dumb?
Yeah. I mean, of all the ridiculous things in a hate letter, I mean, whatever
wow.
else you want to say.
And he had an inordinate love of ass licking. He mentioned that several times, as I recall.
Well, at least if he could be accurate, Jim, he said, you're as dumb as Rachel Maddow, and clearly I'm much dumber.
Oh.
If he had said that, at least it would have been factually accurate.
I don't
but
think
to imply she's dumb, too. I mean, that was, you really are, you know. Yes?
I don't think you've ever licked any part of her body.
No. Well, but apparently everyone for the public option was an ass-licking liberal, so it wasn't just me.
Oh, I see.
Apparently it was not, that's the only ass-licking liberals were polled, apparently, in those polls.
Ass-licking is a pre-existing condition, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
Not covered.
All right. We will be back with another great hate letter, and it relates to a great piece in the New York Times Magazine. I think it was last week. The Love That Dare Not Squawk Its Name. We will talk about all of that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Take the low road, baby. It's so much more fun and profitable. I mean, who would you rather be?
Stephanie Miller.
Or Dido.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev. Hello, Kevin. Oops, I didn't push the button. Yes, I did. Hi, Kev.
I know this is going to surprise you because we've always been so vague about our affections for each other.
Yes.
But I got to make a quick comment on your Larry King appearance Friday.
Thank you.
Frankly, you were so hot. I mean, you had so much hot in the spirit that you even made that Republican woman you're on with look good for men. You know, when you
were right.
you're being spoke models for Ventura's book, but then she opened
yes.
up her mouth and that ruined the fantasy. But anyway.
Yes, I forced a Republican girl to do a skit with me in the name of bipartisan outreach. Go ahead, Kev. So the Supreme Court, you want to say what?
Yeah. Since the Republican Party has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're going to oppose Obama on anything anyway, he should pick the most qualified liberal judge he can find and then use the power of his presidency to remind people what life is like under Republican rule. You know, during the next 7 months, when the health care benefits kick in a bit, more stimulus results will be apparent, mm-hmm. the jobs mm-hmm. will be better. And
right.
then, you know, if the, all those elements come together at the same time, I think many of your consistently wrong pundits will be in for a big surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that could be a new show for CNN, the consistently wrong pundits.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Sure, that'll...
They don't have that already?
Bill Kristol, there'd be just like a whole line. Dick Morris, everyone that's always wrong all the time. It's like the ambiguously gay duo, except the consistently wrong pundits.
Yeah, even Liz Cheney is consistently wrong.
Exactly. Oh, that is an idea, I'm telling you. We've had a light bulb moment. Steve in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you? I just want to give you five reasons why you're much hotter than Sarah Palin.
Oh,
hey,
dear God.
One, you're just better looking. Two, you don't have an annoying voice. Three, you're really intelligent. Four, you haven't had a litter of children, so your stomach won't look like an accordion when you're naked in front of me. Like Sarah Palin. I guarantee you, you get her naked, she's a mess. And five, you're an ass-licking liberal like I am. So I say, let's get a box of wine and let the ass-licking begin.
Woohoo! Party over here.
Oh, boy.
All right. We here at the Stephanie Miller Show have no information that Sarah Palin's stomach looks like an accordion. Or
whatever.
How it looks like. Okay.
I'm not sure we should cling to the moniker ass-licking.
Yeah,
I'm
not even entirely sure you can say that on the air.
I'm not either.
They started.
Let's get to... I'm not sure I can say a lot of things in this hate letter either. But
oh, boy.
I just... I just thought it was, it's from Henry, and the subject line is, can you do one show without promoting fag lesbo lifestyles?
Says,
and apparently I can't.
When were you promoting fag lesbo lifestyles on Friday?
Apparently, I stumbled across the Pop Prop 8 or Don't Ask, Don't Tell story. Something has enraged Henry.
Huh.
Anyway, he writes from, I guess, Silver Lake, it sounds like in L.A.,
the gay enclave of Silver Lake?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but that's why this is funny. Okay, here's. There is a core group of family-oriented, straight, heterosexual residents of Silver Lake who resent the faggot lifestyle that your program supports. It's bad enough your city is the illegal immigrant queer capital of the world, but you can't do one show without promoting it through your snide, S-N-I-E-D?
Yes, that's right.
Snide, homoerotic and tired humor. Oh, my humor is both tired and homoerotic.
Huh.
Prop 8 will never pass, so shut the up already. Henry, who's apparently in the family-oriented straight heterosexual section of...
He's the one.
Silver Lake or somewhere.
He's going to get...
There.
His house is going to get carpet bombed if they find out who he is. Seriously.
It's Henry. Attention, Silver Lake. Henry, you know the guy.
It's the only guy in Silver Lake named Henry.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, we don't mean to draw attention to him. But I...
They're going to do a drastic remodel on his house, and he'll be sorry.
Can I just say, I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that Henry does not get the New York Times, because his head would explode. The magazine section last weekend had the love that dare not squawk its name inside the science of same-sex animal pairings.
Oh, dear.
It seriously is a hilarious art, because we've said this. It makes them crazy, because it exists in every species, and it always has, and it...
to your promoting the gay lesbo lifestyle, you're making birds turn gay.
Apparently, we've even turned birds gay now. But it's kind of hilarious, the kind of, you know, the politics and the vitriol that comes out of stuff like that, when it's just science. They're just documenting what is, you know.
Science is gay.
The Lazen Albatross is a...
those guys are like...
No, they're actually, it's a lot of lesbian couples, Jim. A lot of them are female pairings, and they did a study on it.
So they play softball, they work on their trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's hilarious. The woman that did the study, like, you know, gets this hate mail, like, and she's not gay. She's like, I'm a scientist. But it makes people crazy. And Jim, here are some fun facts from the, I just thought it was a fascinating article from the New York Times Magazine. Various forms of same-sex sexual activity have been recorded in more than 450 different species of animals by now, from flamingos to bison to beetles to guppies to warthogs. A female, here's the part I thought that you might enjoy, Jim. A female koala might force another female against a tree and mount her while throwing back her head and releasing what one scientist described as escalated belch-like sounds. How hot is that?
Yeah.
Hey, you fit right in.
Male Amazon river dolphins have been known to penetrate each other in the blowhole.
Oh, geez. That's insanitary.
This is science stack. Okay. Within most species, homosexual sex has been documented only sporadically, and there appear to be a few cases of individual animals who engage in it exclusively. For more than a century, this kind of observation was usually tacked onto scientific papers as a curiosity, if it was reported at all, and not pursued as a legitimate research subject. Biologists tried to explain away what they'd seen or dismissed it as theoretically meaningless, an isolated glitch in an otherwise elegant Darwinian universe where every facet of an animal's behavior is geared toward reproducing. One primatologist speculated the real reason two male orangutans were filleting each other was nutritional.
Oh. Oh no.
I've heard that before. Come on.
Oh, jeez. You need your protein.
Hasn't heard that? In recent years, though.
Never taking the kids to the zoo again.
Here's what I'm thinking as an amateur scientist. I'm thinking maybe it's a natural part of human and animal is a population control.
Exactly.
Who knows?
Yeah. I think that there's something to that, is overpopulation, yes. You know, food sources dwindle, and that's, right. Yeah, it's natural birth control.
Mm-hmm. Right. In recent years, more biologists have been looking objectively at same-sex sexuality in animals and approaching it as real science. For Young, the existence of so many female-female albatross pairs disproved assumptions that she didn't even realize she'd been making, and in the process raised a chain of progressively more complicated questions. One of the prickliest, it seemed, was how a scientist is even supposed to talk about any of this, given how eager the rest of us have been to twist the sex lives of animals into allegories of our own. This colony is literally the largest proportion of, I don't know what the correct term is, homosexual animals in the world, she said. Which I'm sure some people think is a great thing, and others may think is not. It was a guarded understatement. 2 years ago, she decided to write a short paper about the female-female albatross pairs. I love this. It's an episode of What the Fox. The journal that published the paper sent out a press release a few days after the California Supreme Court legalized gay marriage. At 6 the next morning, a Fox News reporter called Young on her cell phone. The resulting story joined others, including one in this paper, in it, as the news ricocheted around the Internet, a stampede of online commentators alternately celebrating her findings as a clear call for equality or denigrating them as pure propaganda and selective science at its dumbest. In an effort to humanize animals or devolve humans to the level of animals or to further an agenda, many, and I'm guessing by many, they mean some say on Fox.
Right.
That animals also rape and eat their young. Was America going to tolerate that, too, just because it's natural? In one of those typical Fox really bad analogy episodes, Stephen Colbert warned on Comedy Central that Alba Tresbians were threatening American family values with their Sappho avian agenda.
To which the righties said, wait.
Wait? I don't. What?
Yeah, they assume it's propaganda. So that if you're they're obviously promoting animal homosexuality.
Just
so they
by,
must also,
by stating that it exists.
So they also
right.
must promote eating your young. Huh? Ha ha ha. Gotcha. Wow, they're dumb.
Oh, boy. All right. Speaking of the right-wing whacks, they had their little, what is it called, Chris?
Leadership Conference, something.
Yes. The demon seed, Liz Cheney, was there talking about the Obama administration, among others.
Unfortunately, as we sit here today, the Obama administration is putting us on the path to decline.
Decline from the George Bush, Dick Cheney administration? Actually, I got that backwards. It's Cheney.
Governor Rick Perry has a solution. Mr. Secessionist does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're being told today that Big Daddy government has all the answers. That's what we're hearing from a Washington, D.C. that is absolutely out of control. They're saying, now, y'all don't worry, you pretty little heads.
Maybe that's what you heard, but that's not what they were saying.
Right.
All right. See you now.
Yeah. Why don't you all secede?
New Texas. Okay.
Good luck with that. But we're taking back the roads and the post
yes.
offices.
Yes. We're
and
taking
FEMA,
back the roads.
And we're putting a wall around Texas.
Oh, you know who else? Noted exorcist Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana spoke at the Southern Republican Leadership Conference. He said that... He said Speaker Pelosi likes to call the Republicans the party. No, some of us, we don't like the way that sounds. It hurts our feelings. He had his share of awkward moments. He at one point he told the audience, "We do have ideas. Some of those ideas are even good ideas." I guess that would
Such
be
as?
Pretty much an acknowledgement that most of them are crap.
Right.
A couple of them are, you know.
We have ideas. Some of them are good ideas.
We
For
can
example,
do anything.
There was we can do anything. Volcanoes.
RNC, the beleaguered RNC chair, Michael Steele, addressed the folks there. talked about a criticism of his tenure, ignoring suggestions from some advisors that he cease dwelling on the criticism. Instead, he said, "I'm the first person here to admit I've made mistakes," to a half-full ballroom, promising to respectful applause to shoulder the burden and move on. Okay, that was not a really rapturous.
No,
I plan to spend even less money on lesbian hookers. I mean, strippers.
Yeah, if they have their next convention at that female albatross sanctuary, we'll know there's something afoot at the RNC. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, the Supreme Court nomination fight is up next. We'll talk about that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, that's me. Diva. I am the diva. Diva. You better roll out the red carpet. Diva. 'Cause here I come.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. Is that for Henry and Silver Lake?
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dr. Dan coming up, my former producer, who is a noted surgeon in Chicago who does surgeries on tons and tons of uninsured people and is doing the Lord's
work.
Why
does he hate America?
Because he loves me. Okay.
He moved around a lot of surgeries to come on this show.
Yeah, somebody's got to stick with their old hip today because of me. All right.
Some poor by the person. Way. Some poor person has to stick with their old hip because of you today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How's that make you feel?
I hope you're proud.
Yeah.
I am.
Computer says yes.
In fact, I am. Okay. President Obama quietly breached years of protocol Saturday by leaving the White House with no press pool. Before members of the press were scheduled to assemble for the day's pool, he left the White House to attend one of his daughter's soccer games. He's not a socialist. He's an anarchist.
He's a European anarchist.
Yes.
Soccer. Foreign game. Socialist foreign. Don't even use your hands. What kind of a game is that? A football game where you don't use your hands. It's called football for a real... Oh, wait a minute.
At our football, we use our feet as a, you know, for last resort. Why is it that in American football, you can use your hands?
Exactly.
Like you're encouraged to.
Well, yeah, you hardly use your feet at all.
Right. So
can you use your feet in handball?
No.
Mm-mm. Just asking.
You cannot kick the ball.
Handball's a guy game. Is there any women that play handball?
Can.
I don't think
yes.
so. Really?
Really? People play handball anymore?
Well, team in Europe.
Oh, okay.
Team all right. Handball. Soccer, but hands. Basically.
The president on replacing Justice John Paul Stevens.
Well, we cannot replace Justice Stevens' experience or wisdom. I will seek someone in the coming weeks with similar qualities. An independent mind, a record of excellence and integrity, a fierce dedication to the rule of law, and a keen understanding of how the law affects the daily lives of the American people. It will also be someone who, like Justice Stevens, knows that in a democracy, powerful interests must not be allowed to drown out the voices of ordinary citizens.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking the same thing. Sounds like Janine Garofalo to me.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. Yep. Republican senators who will help shape the review of President Obama's nominee said he must pick someone with mainstream judicial views to avoid a filibuster.
Right. And by mainstream, they mean far-right Republican.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes. Senator, to replace a liberal justice.
Yes, because the court's in danger of becoming
skewing.
Too liberal.
Yes.
Yo, far-right, elections have consequences. When you win, you can nominate all of these far-right
until
lunatics.
Then, just shut
exactly,
up.
Exactly, until then, just shut up. Exactly, my point.
Shut up! Just go away, bury yourselves in your rat holes, and don't come out till you win an election. When you win election, you can put all these socialist wackos like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer all over the
okay.
court.
All right,
until then, shut up!
Okay, let's do that.
Rush said so. Okay. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, is the top Republican on the Senate Judiciary, wouldn't rule out using a tactic to protect the Constitution.
From
a high court nominee who he said would make law rather than interpret it.
Oh, you mean like making corporations citizens, that kind of thing?
Yes, overturning years and years and years of precedent. Uh-huh. Whether there's a drawn-out fight, it's in the president's hands, Sessions said. John Kyle added, I'm not going to take it off the table, the filibuster, but I think it can easily be avoided.
If you'll just put in a right-winger.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Kyle said it would take extraordinary circumstances to compel a Republican filibuster. Republicans are likely to echo those terms, judicial mainstream, and extraordinary circumstance during the confirmation.
Yeah. Extraordinary circumstance like a black president, one of those things. Yeah.
Yes, right, that right there, exactly. Yeah, what I was saying is it really is amazing that they're even bringing up the threat of a filibuster. The reason for this, of course, dates back to the battles over Alito and Roberts. At the time, members of the Senate's Democratic minority threatened to filibuster. The Republican majority, you remember, that was the nuclear option. They countered, right, by threatening to exercise the nuclear option. The Republican rallying cry led by the Bush White House was that such rare and high-level presidential nominees deserve... What was that again?
Up or down.
All judicial nominees deserve an up or down vote.
What goes up?
The Senate as a whole will speak with an up or down vote.
Must come down.
They do not want to vote up or down on these nominees.
Talking about your troubles, it's a crying sin.
Judicial nominees deserve up or down votes.
Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin.
Except now.
I know some conservatives are saying, oh, that might leave us open to vulnerable to charges of hypocrisy. Just think?
Yeah.
Where would we get that idea from? Senator Chuck Schumer Friday on.
Let's face it. The president, this Justice Stevens, was not the swing vote on most issues, and I think that lessens the chance of having an ideological battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the worst headlines I've seen in a couple of days, Jim. Obama doesn't want a SCOTUS fight.
Oh,
liberal leaders see the resignations of Justice John Paul Stevens as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Obama to nominate an unabashed liberal to balance an increasingly conservative high court while energizing a demoralized Democratic base just in time for the midterms.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, he'll be a one-term president.
You know what name? The base. You know what name is being whispered? Hillary Clinton.
Which
I think would
be great.
Really,
I would like
really
that.
Good. Yes.
Can she be like Jamaican? Can she keep both jobs?
No.
Can we give her another one?
No. Sorry.
Few, if any, of the 8 to 10 potential nominees being mulled are progressive firebrands. White House officials aren't keen to pick a major new fight after the year-long health care battle. The bottom line, said an administration official, we want someone to walk in there who's confirmable. Obama exuded moderation.
You don't think that's worth fighting for?
Yeah, I know, exactly, Jim. It's a lifetime thing. It's like, I know, Dianne Feinstein said, the Senate's exhausted. Oh, please, like you're working in a coal mine. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, we can't possibly have a fight now.
Oh, this no, another fight. Still exhausting.
When President Obama chose Sotomayor to replace Souter, that had very little effect on the ideological balance of the court because Sotomayor was likely to vote the way Souter did in most cases, said one analyst. By stark contrast, replacing Stevens with Kagan, for instance, one of the main people being mentioned, would shift the court substantially to the right on a litany of key issues.
Not Derek.
Oh, by the way, Joe Lieberman, thrilled about that.
Yeah.
He was thrilled about
I'm
a potential rightward...
I'm absolutely thrilled. I'm beside myself with joy, as you can tell from the exuberance in my voice.
Here's the worst thing. What's her name? Elena Kagan, is that her name? The Solicitor General?
Mm-hmm.
Liz Cheney says she has respect for her and that Kagan never let politics into the classroom.
Oh, boy. Perfect.
Oh, boy. That cannot be a good sign if the demon seed is a fan. All right, let's go to Buddy in Columbus real quick on Caribou Barbie. Hi, Buddy. Go ahead. Oh, Buddy, go ahead.
Hey, two things. It's Palin is bad crap crazy. If you listen to that tape of the Southern thing, she literally says, and just today, earlier this week, Jonah Goldberg wrote.
Just today, earlier this week.
Yeah, and he's like nuts.
Exactly. 28 minutes after, 58 minutes after the hour, back with Dr. Dan from Chicago on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on
minutes after the hour. The Dow is up 24 points. 1-800-STEF-12, our phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. Mama's Fellini-esque appearance on Larry King Live, guest hosted by Governor Ventura, is up on the YouTube section with Ron Paul, Rod Blagojevich, and right-wing velociraptor Andrea Tantaros.
Wow. What a lineup.
Wow.
And she even did a comedy skit with you, Andrea Tantaros did.
Okay. You can email us all there at StephanieMiller.com as well. Jim, I have a guest quote for you.
Oh.
Who said, tell Miss Miller I absolutely love her crazy self. Not a day goes by without me thinking very positive thoughts about her, whether she knows it or not. She's been a huge influence on me and what I'm doing. Wish we could still be working together. Who said that, Jim? And the hint is, it's not you or that other traitorous bastard I work with.
Joachim Löw.
No. Dr. Dan, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Ivankovic, who I knew as Odie and was my producer in Chicago and in New York a million years ago. Can I have some touching story music? I literally cried when I read this story in the Chicago paper. Chicago doc administers tall dose of the heart. Standing at 7 feet tall and partially wearing black, rock doc, Dr. Dan Ivankovic, treats first and charges later. A Chicago doctor has a policy, treat first, charge later, doing as many as 800 surgeries per year. Half of his patients are uninsured. And he is taking, in fact, bumped a few people out of surgery this morning.
Yes.
And to come on with us, Odie!
What's up?
Good morning, baby!
Hey, does this mean I'm on the official list of Stephanie Miller future husbands?
Boy, howdy.
A doctor. You married a doctor.
Well, okay, first of all, why did we call you Odie? I didn't even know your real name.
You know what? It was Dan Ivankovic. If you can't pronounce it, how was I going to pronounce it on the air?
And I'm a Polak, for God's sake. I am so proud of you, and I was so touched. I was saying on the air last week that I still laugh about you putting my demo tape together. You were good with a razor blade back then, so I should have known you were going to be a surgeon.
Well, you know, the blade was just sort of the proving ground, and it kept my skills sharp while I got to work in radio.
I don't even remember you. Were you planning to go to med school then?
Well, you know, I was in medical school, and I got I was a little bit disillusioned with the just the attitude of my classmates. Everybody was talking about, you know, what kind of car they were going to drive, whether it was a Lambo or a Ferrari, and yeah, I just wanted to help people, and I needed to take a break to clear my head, and that's why I was working CKGs at nights until they hired me to do weekends and evenings, and I just kept rolling with that.
You were, you know, you but you've always been the same guy. Seriously, you were so kind to me, and I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget our editing session until 3 in the morning when you lost the B on Betty Buckley. Do you remember that on my demo tape?
Oh, my God. You know, I'm still taking lithium from that night. I've medicated myself for 2 decades ever since that night. You're the one that I need to blame for that.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen a 7-foot-tall guy crawling around on a floor looking for a piece of tape.
A tiny little piece of tape with just the letter B.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
But, you know, you've got to tell me how all this started. So, you know, this great story about you talks about, you know, you're a bone doctor with a heart as big as your frame. Tell me how this all started. And so you, most of your surgeries, people don't have insurance.
Well, you know, it's a combination. You know, one of the things that people really don't understand is that it's such a fine line that people can walk between being insured and uninsured. You know, sometimes it's something as stupid as getting laid off. You know, we're all sort of one or two checks away from being poor. I mean, it doesn't. Yeah. It's not just about a black thing, a brown thing. It's everybody. And, you know, when I had the opportunity to train over at Cook County Hospital in Chicago, it blew my mind, you know, the stories that you would hear of people who were, they were attorneys, and then they lost their job, and then they didn't have insurance. So,
I mean, you embody, Doc, you know, the heart, I think, that was missing in this whole health care debate. I mean, you're quoted in the paper here saying patients were on waiting lists for 5 years for basic stuff, colonoscopies, mammograms, and I thought, this is America? He decided to treat first and charge later in a city where hundreds of thousands live in poverty. He's therefore always on call. You say on any given day it might be 3, 4, 5 different hospitals, multiple surgeries. I mean, wow. I mean, you are really putting your money where your mouth is.
Well, you know, I can't sit here and say that I believe that politicians are going to create the effect that we want. I think it's ultimately up to doctors stepping up and saying, look, this is what we want. This is the change we believe in. And, you know, and I'm really apolitical. I mean, I don't swing to the right or to the left with regard to the health care debate, because honestly, you know, it sickened me to see that over $1 billion of lobbying money went to both parties during the health care debate. And at the end, what really offends me is that, you know, the insurance that they give everybody is going to be Medicaid. So we're going to have 32 million people on Medicaid, and that's an insurance that like 98% of the doctors don't even accept.
Yep. Well, I mean, you know, Doc, it kills me. I'm just saying, from my point of view, I see a lot of these people, particularly on the religious right, you know, talking about not wanting health care to pass. And meanwhile, I mean, you're living it. This is the part that made me cry. You do as many as 800 surgeries a year, twice the number of most orthopedic surgeons. You make roughly half as much because at least one third of the patients are uninsured. You said, I've never let something like resources, poverty, money get in the way. When you see something that's just blaring at you, how do you keep going and say it's okay? It's not. You see a child that's crippled, you see a 50-year-old in a wheelchair, and I can fix it. Why wouldn't I? I mean, that is, I hate to say it, but that's what Jesus would do, right?
Well, you know, I if you remember back in the day when I had the beard and long hair, I was trying to kind of, I was in my Jesus mode with the Birkenstock. And that had a profound effect. But, it's something that when patients need something and we can't affect it, I mean, this is the oath that we took. It's the training and it's what we believe in. And it's very hard just to walk by and say that, oh, no big deal. I mean, if I can do something, I will. And you know, the thing that I've been blessed with is that working in these neighborhoods that I'm at, I mean, I've gotten a chance to put back together, you know, my blues band, and I'm playing with alumni from Muddy Waters, from Howlin' Wolf.
Wow.
I mean, I'm having a great time, Stephanie. It's not like I'm doing this and, you know, living in a cave and, you know, drinking water and eating bread. I mean, I'm having a blast. I got a cool car that's like the envy of every brother on the west and south side. I mean, we do it in style. We have fun, but, you know, we're trying to do the right thing. I mean, at the end of the day, the whole point is to make charity and to make doing this stuff something that's cool where people go, wow, I want to do that. Because at the end, it's about me influencing other people to come on board. Because I can't. I mean, for the 800 that I do, there's probably another 2,000 that I can't.
Right. I mean, I don't know what to say when you even talk about that it should be nonpartisan. What do you think of this doctor that put up this sign saying if you voted for Obama, seek, you know, urologic care elsewhere?
You know, I think that people draw their lines in the sand because of fear. I think, you know, when the unknown comes in, look, you know, people being worried about a 21% cut in Medicare reimbursements, for a lot of doctors, that could put them under. You know, if you come in tomorrow and say, look, you're going to make a fifth less, you know, overhead's going up, malpractice is going up, and a lot of people are responding to fear. And I think that's, you know, this whole thing has been very incendiary because, you know, people are drawing sides. And the thing that really annoys me is that nobody's talking about the patients.
Right. Well, and you're not just talking about it, you're doing it. Let's get to the part about me, Odie, which, as you know, has always been the most fascinating thing to me.
Yes, it is. You're absolutely right, and I will attest to that, I believe it.
Some things never change, right?
No.
I can't imagine how working on a fart joke radio show has been an influence on you doing the work you're doing now. What do you mean by that? And you didn't really mean you wish we could still be working together.
No, absolutely. Look, I mean, Stephanie, I mean, you're a character. I mean, one of the things that when, you know, we had an opportunity to go to New York, I mean, I could tell your talent when we were in Chicago, and I can't tell you how proud I am of you finding your pace. I mean, you know, you're in an environment where your talent shines. I mean, working in, like, you know, classic rock radio, it just, that wasn't the right fit. I mean, you were 10 years ahead of your time with the type of political and comedic banner you did, and you sound great. I got to watch the television show, and I catch you on the internet, and here in Chicago, you're on a couple of stations, and I think, I got to tell you, you're talking about you got a great partner. Jim Ward is insane. I mean,
he is insane.
I drive off the road, man. Some of the stuff he does, he's really good. I mean, it's a joy to listen to you.
You need
he's
a, heart
a genius with a capital G. And he also had a garage band, so maybe you can come and jam with Odie in Chicago sometime.
Cool. We should jam.
Well, you know, I have to say, that's right. I loved you so much. I took you to New York when I went to New York. And, you know, I'm just, boy, I got to say, you always remember people's kindness. And you were so kind to me. And I'm so happy that you're, you know, paying it forward the way you are. It just is so, you're just such a, you have such a huge heart.
Well, you know, know, at the end of the day, we all kind of we do stuff, and it all comes back. And I think that all of our relationships and our connections mean something. And you really did make a positive influence, because a lot of what, you know, you did, your angles, and just, you know, your attitude about media, it was very refreshing to me. Because if you'll remember, Stephanie, you know, I mean, the whole management people, the Mark Morgans of the world, you know, I mean, these guys were not.
Oh, man, he's talking trash now behind the scenes. All right.
Stephanie, you know, it just, they didn't understand where things were going, and they were so driven by research, and you were out there, you were forging new ground. And I mean, here you are 20 years later. I mean, I don't think your show has drastically, or your approach has changed a lot since, you know, 20 years ago, because the times, I think, are ready for you, and hopefully.
Oh, thank you, honey. Well, listen.
Will be, you know, the future and how things evolve, because, you know, I am having fun, and that was one thing you always did, was have a great time, even though I can never do as much treadmill as you. My God.
Oh, no, she's moved on to spinning class now.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I only hope that more people are inspired by your story, particularly these two slackers I work with now are inspired to make something of themselves.
I hope so.
It proves that the Stephanie Miller Show, not the dead end that it has previously been seen to be. Dr. Dan, the rock doc from Chicago, you know, so proud of you, and thanks so much for taking time and really doing the Lord's work.
Oh, Stephanie, thank you, and let's stay connected. If you ever make it to Chicago, promise me we go out to dinner.
I will indeed. Listen, I'm sure getting a reservation for a 7-foot-tall doctor is no problem anywhere.
Well, we'll do it on the west side. We'll go to a soul food joint on the west side. I've always got a table there in the window.
Woohoo! Done. All right. Thank you so much, honey. There he goes. The artist formerly known as Odie, Dr. Dan Ivankovic of Chicago. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. You know, he's right. I guess it was treadmill days back then. You know what it is now, Chris.
It's
P90X.
That's right.
Life moves on. 18 minutes after the hour. I will be right back with Jim Ward, genius with a capital G, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I went to see the doctor today.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear God. I got another hate letter, Chris, from Sabine. Hi, Steph. I've been a faithful listener for years, but you lost me with your glorification of porn.
Oh.
It's too much for me. Please explain why you, as a woman, support porn. Inquiry minds would like to know. Sabine.
When did you ever say you supported porn?
We had on the former porn star that was the Tiger Woods mistress, because it's, you know, in the news.
Doesn't mean we support porn.
No.
Although some of us do.
In fact, that was the most uncomfortable interview I've ever given. People said they could see me blushing through the radio.
No, I missed it.
I know, Jim.
You know
that
what,
will show you.
It was fascinating, I thought.
It was fascinating for me trying to phrase questions.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of which, someone sends me a letter to Jesse James, who gets more hate mail than I do these days.
Mm-hmm.
Letter to Jesse James. You stupid bastard. You cheated on Sandra Bullock. How in the world can you be so stupid? You're married to one of the most beautiful women in the world. She has a body to die for. Her current wealth shattered only by Oprah. Your wife recently beat out Julia Roberts in the polls, is now named America's sweetheart. You really are a piece of work. You are the most hated old cheater on the planet. How can you live with yourself? I have only one thing to say to the despicable, miserable, cheating piece of that you are. Ooh. Thanks for taking the heat off me. Let's do lunch, Tiger. Oh, that's going around.
That's comedy.
Speaking of comedy, meet William Ferris. The Ohio man yesterday paid a prostitute $50 with the understanding that he would receive a full menu of sexual services
for
in the bathroom
50?
Of a... In the bathroom of a White Castle.
Gonna holler, apparently.
Yes.
Oh, in the bathroom of a White Castle.
And yes, classy with a K.
That is.
In Cincinnati. However, when the hooker only performed oral sex on him, he contacted the police to report that
Good
he had just
plan.
Been robbed.
Yes.
He didn't get that. He wanted fries with that and other stuff.
He just got sliders.
Yeah.
Exactly, Jim. Thank you.
He wanted a shake.
Your milkshake does bring all the boys to the men's room, apparently.
Definitely. All right, and let's see. Oh, another. Oh, Chris, this is just yet more of the
what?
Psychotic cat stories, you know.
Oh, huh.
Postal workers boycott house after cat attacks. Britain's postal service says it has suspended deliveries to a woman following repeated attacks by her 19-year-old cat. They halted deliveries because postal workers had sustained, quote, nasty injuries at the address. The woman, who nicknamed her cat Tiger, said she found it hard to believe he could be behind the attacks. She told the newspapers the animal spent much of the day sleeping and did not have the energy to chase postal workers.
19
not
years
Tiger.
Old, yeah.
No, of course not.
19-year-old cats don't have the energy to really do anything except for sleep and sunshine.
Have you seen that video of the cat standing up, though?
Yes, I have.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's like a yogi cat. He sees a bird, and he just stands there levitating on the bed.
Wow. And sometimes raises his arm and puts it back down.
Wow.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's not a cat who looks like Hitler, is it?
No.
Raising
not.
The right paw would be kind of alarming in that case.
Von Seal. And, oh, by the way, speaking of a Hitler video, amusing Hitler video, I tweeted a link to this very amusing Hitler piece, which mentions me.
Right. Just look for it in the Twitter box right there at stephaniemiller.com.
It's him talking about Hannity's Freedom Concerts, and Stephanie Miller is prominently featured in there. Von Seal, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Only know from Fox, from what I hear on your show, and maybe Ed Schultz and some others, but I know that they're always calling us haters. They're always saying that we're angry and we're haters. Mm. And that story about Dr. Dan just shows how stupid and wrong they are yet again. I mean, on their side, we have the doctor who puts a sign up that says, don't come here for your urological needs. And by the way, urologists, laziest doctors in the world.
Oh, well, I dated one.
Who studies pee, for God's sakes?
And you know what he told me? You don't have, there's no emergency calls, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're the laziest doctors in the world. And you have a surgeon. I mean, think about what surgeons do. And not only that, he does not care who he's surgering on.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, you know, I'm sorry, I need to, blah, blah, blah. And
I mean, what kind of doctor does that, you know, of their own free will? He does twice the surgeries most of the big surgeons do. He makes half the money because his patients aren't insured generally, and he doesn't care.
And Stephanie, I have to say, like, they're always calling us haters, but we are the lovers.
Exactly.
And, you know, you part of the village that helped raise my darling daughter.
Thank you.
A great kid.
Oh,
no
Fuller,
problem.
Your resentful teenager.
Used to be. Now, kind of a productive semi-adult. Imagine my shock. But,
and like, mine, too.
Yes. When you say you shouldn't be around children, I say, no, no, no. Maybe it's safe distance.
Well, it's through the radio. I'm fine. In person, you wouldn't. You
maybe not so much. But anyway, love doctor, hate doctor. Whose side are they on?
All right. Thank you, Von Seal. All right. That was like a Sarah Palin said. That wasn't even full sentences, whatever that is, last thing she said, but I got the point.
Right.
All right. Chuck Schumer, real quick, on the Supreme Court nomination.
At a time when the public is yearning for bipartisanship, the American people hope the president will choose a candidate who merits consensus support. I would similarly expect that the rest of the important agenda that awaits the Senate this year would not be bogged down on account of this nomination.
Oh, I'm sure Republicans will be helpful and cooperative as they always are. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
An uppity bitch so focused on her career that she's in her late 30s and still doesn't have grandchildren.
That was from Tina Fey hosting this weekend Saturday Night Live, playing Sarah Palin.
boy. Steven writes, Steph, I guess it's safe to say those new findings about the gay birds will be an albatross around the necks of homophobic regulators. It's a study about Leslie Albatross. All right. You know, I have some breaking news. I often read, along with the New York Times, Chris, the North Korean
paper.
Mm-hmm. It says, Kim Jong-il, the North Korean leader, has become a fashion trendsetter thanks to his trademark suits, according to the country's official website.
Oh, boy.
It claims Mr. Kim, who's typically seen in an overhaul-type zipped-up jacket and matching trousers, usually in khaki or gray, sassy. has developed an outstanding image as a result, according to the Communist Party newspaper. That's the one I pick up.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Along with my regular socialist New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Kim's fashion sense has sparked somewhat of a global fashion trend.
Oh,
it has?
The article further quoted an unidentified French fashion expert who said Kim Jong-il mode, which is now spreading expeditiously worldwide, is something unprecedented in the world's history.
Unprecedented.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm kicking it old school in my fashion-forward fatigue. Oh, the drab is a new black, baby. Oh, I'm too sexy for my jackboots. Too sexy for my jackboots. I do my little dance out on the catwalk. Yeah, the catwalk. I'm a fierce glamourista. I invented the retro-futurism. Star in this chick is back, baby. It's a must-have. Tim Gunn and Heidi Klum got nothing on me, baby. By the way, I may be way off base here, but I think Tim Gunn might be a little right in the Rothers.
Oh, you think?
Just saying. In his tuxedo, he looked just like the gay penguin. Keep out!
Oh, he's snappy. All right. This was a sad and disturbing celebrity stack this weekend. Dixie Carter died.
Yeah.
But I don't... That's a little weird, isn't it? There's no word on it. She died at age 70, but there's no word on where she died or the cause of death. Had she been ill?
Nobody really knows.
That is weird.
Her last appearance was on the last season of Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. Loved her. Yeah, and she got nominated for an Emmy for that. Loved
But you
her.
Know what? She has never won an Emmy. She never won an Emmy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. D-listed writing, not Julia Sugarbaker. Sadly, Dixie Carter went off to heaven today to decorate God's sunroom in Laura Ashley florals and white wicker furniture. I loved that show, but that's just that was an odd
very
one.
Sad.
It'd be interesting to see what that happened. Very sad.
I'd heard it was a heart attack, but I may be wrong.
Really? Mm. Meanwhile, the Munchkin Coroner on The Wizard of Oz is really most sincerely dead.
Yes.
get it? Yeah. He was 94.
Max Rabe.
Pardon me? Meinhard. What's his name? Meinhard
Rabe.
How do you say it?
Rabe.
Oh, exactly. Mm. Exactly. He played the Munchkin Corner on The Wizard
As
of Oz.
As coroner, I must have heard, I thoroughly examined her, and she's not only merely dead, she's really more sincerely dead.
Good, Jim.
Wow, Jim.
That was a spontaneous posthumous tribute.
Yeah.
Meinhard Rabe.
And he's all the right. one who basically organized the Munchkins later on in their lives,
right.
get them all together to go to these conventions to make money. He's
wow.
the one. He was the one who was behind all of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because he felt they were being shortchanged?
Actually, yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. So he organized.
Oh, yeah.
All right. D-listed writing another breaking news story about Amy Winehouse's fake trauma. Amy Winehouse's overstuffed chest balloons have been giving her all sorts of problems ever since she got them shoved in there a little while ago. They probably get in the way when she's trying to do a no-hands shot off the bar or trying to snort a line of the wrong stuff off a coffee table. I don't know. D-listed says, I don't.
Yeah. Well,
she's waiting for a decision on whether the implants have to come out or not, according to a source. My guess is that all the zombie genes in Wino's body traveled up to her area and started to eat the implants.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true. I don't think D-listed, I don't think that's a medical blog.
No. No, it's not. It's not drcoop.com.
No.
No.
Okay. Uh-oh, Twitter war, everybody.
Twitter D-listed can get you in trouble.
Listen, don't we know that here on the Stephanie Miller Show?
Yes, we do.
Crystal boy. In random Twitter war news, Amy Mann and Ice-T.
What? Those are not two people that you would expect to be in a Twitter war.
No.
She started it, I guess. There's no reason in the world anyone should ever pass Ice-T in a television show.
Well, she's right there.
Except to which he responded, hey, Amy Mann, stop worrying about my acting, bitch, and worry about your whack-ass music in the meanwhile. Eat a hot bowl of... Wow, D-listed wondering, can I ask Ice-T where one goes to successfully order a bowl of hot...
Can you give us a clue as to what you bleeped? Because I have no idea.
It's a male of...
Gotcha.
Ah. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yes, a whole bowl of them.
Well, you know, but there's the irony of the guy who performed Cop Killer playing a cop on TV.
Yeah, so there is that irony. Yeah.
Exactly. Might not be in the good acting file, but it's in the Isn't It Ironic file. There you go. All right, Green Day, former NSYNC member Lance Bass and celebrity chef Kat Cora are among those helping to pay for a gay-friendly prom in Mississippi. Oh,
oh
boy,
very
good
cool.
luck with that. They say the event is open to everyone but geared toward gay students because of the girl that got kicked out of the prom for being gay and the thing there. Good for him. Good for Lance Bass.
and Green Day.
Woo,
and
well, Park. Listen, if you're going to go get a gay prom in Mississippi, I'm just saying, you know, props.
Gay people do exist in Mississippi.
What? No. Stop it. All right. Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama, on the Supreme Court nomination.
If we have a nominee that evidences a philosophy of judges know best, that they can amend the Constitution by saying it has evolved and effectuate agendas, then we're going to have a big fight about that.
Oh, you mean like declaring corporations to be citizens?
Yeah.
Even if they're foreign-based?
No, that's not a... Yeah.
Yeah, overturning years and years and years of established law like that, you mean?
Right. No, that's not judicial activism.
Yeah. It really is unbelievable how that's really all they mean. They mean if you think the way we do, then you're, if you do what we want you to do, then you're not an activist. I mean, what is more activist, by the way, than overturning Roe v. Wade? They're saying one of the nominees, because she's pro-choice. Like, oh, she respects the precedent?
Law.
That's,
yes.
Huh? Wow. All right. Wow. We speaking of the whole pro-choice battle. Bart Stupak, obviously, we talked about retiring on Friday.
Baby killer.
The Stephanie Miller Show is doing a parody of the right winger who yelled "baby killer" at Bart Stupak. We don't think he's okay.
Yeah.
It had been building for some time. The last two or three election cycles, Laurie and I and our family would sit down and do we want to go another time? When I come out of Washington, I don't go home. It's just finally, after 18 years, just got enough is enough.
Especially when I get death threats from crazy people because I wasn't orthodox enough in my abhorrence of abortion. I'm sorry. Please. Please don't.
Representative Stupak again.
It's unnerving, but, you know, I've been a police officer for many years. I've been through some tough votes. We've gone through this before, but maybe not to the degree of the viciousness of this time.
Yeah.
And can I just say, I thought in general, those of us on the left disagreed with him on principle and what was in the bill. The right, it just, you know, as usual, just over the top. When you've got Congress people screaming baby killer at you on the House floor, you can imagine what his phone calls were like.
And
his death threats.
And he was on their side. But then he wasn't on their side enough. So, yeah.
Exactly. Bart Stupak again.
I wanted to leave a couple times, but I always thought there was one more job to be done. Healthcare was always a major issue. In fact, some of my friends over here will remember this little pamphlet. It's one of my first election things. Healthcare reform right now.
By the by, did you hear this story? Speaking of Supreme Court nominations, so Joe Sestak's campaign seized on a statement by Rick Santorum that he traded his 2004 endorsement of Arlen Specter for a promise that he would support President Bush's judicial nominees. He said, "The reason I endorse Arlen Specter is because we were going to have two Supreme Court nominees coming up. I got a commitment from Arlen Specter that no matter who George Bush would nominate, he would support that nominee."
Oh.
Sestak, his campaign called it one of the most glaring red flags that has come to light about Specter. They said, "For Arlen Specter to take his marching orders from Rick Santorum and George Bush and pledge to support any nominee, no matter how partisan, no matter how unqualified, in order to win an election, is a stunning betrayal of his duty as a public service." Specter's campaign denying it, Santorum's allegations. So I'm just saying many of us remember the Clarence Thomas hearings and his questioning of Anita Hill, and we're not really that... And he's losing to Toomey, so I say, go, Joe Sestak, go. You know what I'm saying, Chris, based on all of my military background, I'm for...
You're never going to correct him on that,
You're never going to correct him on that, are you?
No. He thanks me for my service, and I say, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
As you know from your military service, when the captain of the ship discovers that there's a second key to the locker for the strawberries...
Next time I have him on, Jim, I should just say, welcome to the Not the Randy Rhoads Show. Okay. You're thinking of Randy Rhoads. Okay. Anyway.
I prove with geometric logic that Stephanie Miller actually is Randy Rhoads.
I do know one thing.
What?
It's 44 after. By the by, so speaking of health care, Mitt Romney continues to struggle with questions about why he wants to repeal a health care law so similar to the health care reforms he signed as governor of Massachusetts. Why, that was just back in 2006.
Certainly was.
Have you noticed my hair is just like Reagan?
Yes, I have noticed that. Good luck with that. Particularly since he used to argue that Romney Care should serve as a template for national reform, to which we said,
that's
okay.
But suddenly not.
In October of 2009, Romney urged Democrats to use the Massachusetts law as a model to expand coverage. He told CNN's Sanjay Gupta, Massachusetts is a model for getting everybody insured in a way that doesn't break the bank, doesn't put the government in the driver's seat, and allows people to own their own insurance policies and not to have to worry about losing coverage. That's what Massachusetts did.
And that's what Obama just did.
Yes.
But now...
But since federal reformers adopted Massachusetts' individual mandate and standard benefits provision, among many others, Romney has found himself in the awkward position of having to defend his biggest legislative accomplishment while simultaneously attacking its federal twin. Good luck with that, Mittens! And guess what? He just won the straw poll. He's the best they've got!
Although, he beat Ron Paul by just one single vote.
Wow.
That is a sad little pack over there
really
on the
is.
Right. 45. Oh, and they voted Sarah Palin number one with a quip. 45 minutes after the hour. She's quippy.
Not according to the lamestream media, you betcha, I'll suit you.
Yeah, because being quip-filled is the only requirement to being president.
I can see quips from my house.
We'll be back with one of them next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
David in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey, how many straw polls are the Republicans going to do? Because at the CPAC convention, remember, Ron Paul won the straw poll by a significant margin.
Right. And he only lost this one by one vote.
No. And, like, the country's going to vote for Mitt Romney? I don't think so. But the other point I want to mention is that at the Republican get-together in New Orleans, not once did they mention Hurricane Katrina. And this is an insidious pattern by the Republicans, especially with McDonald's, the newly elected governor from Virginia's, his little Confederacy month for the month of April.
Mm-hmm. So when you and I love when Ron Paul won the last straw poll that he got booed.
I know. Can you believe it? And he's the originator of the Tea Party movement. And
this
is pretty much, you know, pulled that out from under him, but I don't think he really cares.
Yeah, I know. I he didn't appear to when I was on Larry King with him on Friday. Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. You know, I sure hope Obama picks someone really frickin' liberal. I mean, we have some right-wing wackos on the court right now that they're just terrifying. So I think you should just go full bore. Why not? Republicans are going to resist it everything anyway.
You know, and Steph, one of the, I think the scariest things is this, you know, with the Citizens United decision is just how the pro-corporate slant on the Supreme Court now that, you know, I think is terrifying, particularly, you know, in the light of this, the mining accident. This guy, Jim, you've said it, this guy belongs in jail, this Massey, the head of the... Massey Energy.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama, by the way, on Friday talking about the...
I want to offer my deepest condolences to the friends and the families of the fathers and the husbands and brothers, nephews and sons who were killed in this accident. I'm also in awe of the courage and selflessness shown by the rescue teams who've risked their lives over and over and over this week for the chance to save another. They've worked around the clock with little sleep for the past few days, and this nation owes them a debt of gratitude.
And now
why
by
we
way
need unions.
Yeah, exactly. And by way of contrast, Jim, now I irritate you with some Caribou Barbie from this weekend.
This administration alienates our friends. They treated the Afghan president, Karzai, poorly, and then they feigned surprise when he reacted in kind. They escalated a minor zoning decision into a major breach with Israel, our friend, our closest ally in the Middle East.
A minor zoning problem.
Let's remind our president, Jerusalem is not a settlement, and Israel is our friend.
Yeah, where do you start with that one, Jim? First of all, a minor zoning issue, all the settlements Israel was... And he never said Jerusalem was a settlement, you moron.
It's almost as if she had no concept of history or geography.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, that's crazy, but I think the Israelis are saying, yeah, you know what, we don't need you as a friend.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Here she is with her quip.
The president, with all the vast nuclear experience that he acquired as a community organizer. And as a part-time senator.
Part-time.
And as a full-time candidate, all that experience, still no accomplishment to date with North Korea and Iran.
Yeah, well, he was a part-time senator because he kicked your ass to be a full-time president, you half-term quitter, you half-term half-wit.
And what does she propose that we do about Iran and North Korea? Start bombing?
Oh, golly, I don't have a quip about that. No one wrote a quip for me.
I have all the nuclear expertise I need from being in Alaska.
Why do Republicans...
I can see nucleuses from my house.
Why do Republicans say nuclear? Good Lord and butter.
Well,
and butter.
It's a southern thing, which, and Sarah Palin has
Sarah Palin is not from the south.
I know.
And neither
She's
is George
North
Bush.
North. The president meeting today with representatives from 47 countries trying to craft an agreement on keeping nuclear weapons out of terrorists' hands. Oh, too bad Caribou Barbie won't be there. He said the single biggest threat to U.S. security, both short-term, medium-term, and long-term, would be the possibility of a terrorist organization obtaining a nuclear weapon. This is something that could change the security landscape in this country and around the world for years to come.
There you go with your little border dispute thing. You're a little...
Yeah, that's why back when he was a part-time senator, Jim, he was working on that with Richard Lugar while the President Bush was starting unnecessary wars in other countries that had nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
Richard Lugie? What?
Hey, Jim, I slipped Governor Jesse Ventura conspiracy snossage for you on Friday night.
And?
I just, because he was mentioning his book. And he said, why do you think the mainstream media is not covering it? And I said, because, you know, they're uncomfortable talking about things like the 9/11 commission being a whitewash and stuff like that.
We covered it here on the Stephanie Miller newscast.
Thank you. By the way, Jim, do you have any snossages on the Polish president? That is a weird story, isn't it? So Poland's president, his wife, and several high-ranking officials were killed Saturday when the plane they were traveling on crashed in foggy conditions. But when you hear about this, it's like an entire 96 people. It was an entire delegation of military and civilian leaders. And they told the pilot not to land in the dense fog, and he did.
He kept trying anyway.
But they wrote it. I mean, since when can you be flying the president of a country and be rerouted to another airport and just go, nah, I think we're good?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I mean,
they tried to reroute him to another airport, and he, I guess, I didn't realize pilots could do that. Can they just tell controllers, it here?
Apparently.
Well, they are, you know, they're the captain of the ship, basically, they're the last line of defense, I suppose.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a shocking story, I thought. Last night, while debating raising taxes on the wealthy with radio host Mark Levin, Fox Business host Stuart Varney claimed that progressive tax policies will turn us into Europeans who are a pack of pagan losers. Varney's claim ironic, given the fact that he is British-born and a graduate of the London School of Economics. It should also be noted that Western Europeans enjoy a lower poverty rate, an economy nearly as large as China and the U.S. combined, much more generous worker benefits and vacation time, and a higher per capita GDP growth than the United States. Otherwise, good point.
And better quality of life in general.
All right. The other breaking news. The future Pope Benedict resisted pleas to defrock a California priest with a record of sexually molesting children, citing concerns including, quote, the good of the universal church. According to a 1985 letter bearing his signature, the correspondence obtained by the AP, the strongest challenge yet to the Vatican's insistence that he played no role in blocking the removal of pedophile priests. The Vatican confirmed it was Rasmussen's signature. They said the press office doesn't believe it's necessary to respond to every single document taken out of context.
This is a big one.
That's just
I can see how we might misconstrue.
Parents, keep your children safe. Keep them away from the Catholic Church.
I ran out of time here, but I'll tell you about this particular priest and that would be tough to misconstrue all that. All right. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Terrell,
Tell.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.